Communion is also a look at the now, the present. It's not just a look backwards, but we also remember the present condition of our lives in the new covenant. That Christianity is a present reality. It is real now. I'm in Jesus Christ right now.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Welcome to Abounding Grace, your daily look through the Word of God. Our teacher's Ed Taylor, the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Aurora, Colorado. As we forge ahead with our series from 1 Corinthians, today we're going to hear part 3 of Pastor Ed's message titled, Communion with Jesus. The true Church of Jesus Christ on earth cannot be contained in any one building or under any one denomination. God's work is far beyond any human enterprise, though men often try to control and take credit for the work of God. Let's turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and join Pastor Ed as our spirits are lifted in God's abounding grace.
Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. When we come through and take of the elements, we're remembering our present reality. Jesus is everything. Any of the gaps are to be filled as we remember what He has done for us in the past, what He is doing for us in the present. Verse 20, chapter 6, Paul says, "For you were bought at a price." What was that price again? That's right, the sacrifice, the death and resurrection, the sacrifice of His blood. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Chapter 7, verse 23. Same book. In case we missed it the first time, we've already seen it twice as a church because we've studied these. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. It's a beautiful relationship that we have. We look to the now. Communion's a reminder. I am presently owned. I don't own myself. Number 3, we don't just look backwards. We don't just look now, but communion, when we take communion, we also look forward. We look into the future. Maranatha, even so, Lord, come quickly. Your promise is sure. Your word is steadfast. We proclaim, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread, this is chapter 11, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death when? Till He comes. Maranatha, even so, Lord, you come quickly. Verse 26, that phrase, as often. You might want to take note of that. You know there's a lot of controversy over communion, right? How to take it, what to take, what it is. There doesn't need to be. Many times I'm asked as a pastor, I'll get a note here and there, why we don't take communion every single Sunday morning. Or in our fellowship now, Saturday nights as well for our weekend services. Why don't we take communion every Sunday? Or why aren't we taking communion every time we gather as a service? But most of the time, it's every Sunday that some make a big deal about taking communion every Sunday. Well, the answer is very simple. The Bible doesn't say how often to take communion. Anywhere. We see proof of that here. As often. If there was a prescribed manner of how often to take communion, it would be, make sure every time you guys gather together, every single time and you take communion, then He would say. But He just says, as often. There's no prescribed regularity, and there's no prescribed methodology. There's no mention of having an elder pass out the elements, having a priest put it on your tongue. There's no mention of that anywhere in Scripture. That's nowhere to be found in the Bible. There's no mention of only men should serve communion. Why can't women serve communion? The Bible doesn't say anything against that. There's no prescribed methodology of to use gold trays with a little cross on top. Make sure you get your crackers on sale at Walmart. Doesn't say anything like that. Doesn't say what kind of bread. There's no methodology. There's no mention if we should all take it together at one time. as we do from on occasion, right? We'll pass out the elements. We'll say, hey, let's take it together. That's perfectly okay, but there's nowhere in Scripture to say we have to do it that way all the time. There's no prescribed methodology where the bread goes first and the cup goes second, or they don't go together. There's nothing like that in the Scripture. It is all something that has been picked up over the years. There's no methodology of somebody even has to serve you. Because there's been questions here on Wednesdays. Hey, I don't know if the Bible could ever say you could take it, you could come and pick up the elements yourself. All right, the Bible doesn't say anything. Why can't you? Usually the answer is, well, we've never done it that way before. Okay, we'll try it and see how it goes. It's pretty cool just to be able to be led by the Lord in this element of communion. And a little more formal on Sundays. And there's no methodology, there's no regularity that's prescribed. The reality when it relates to communion, see, sometimes they'll say, wait a minute, Ed. In the first Passover meal, Jesus himself passed it out to people. Okay. How is he going to pass it out today? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He says, as often as you do this, I just want you guys in your mind just praying through this to learn how to not make a big deal out of things that aren't big deals. It'll help you so much. Perhaps we do something a little different here at Calvary and it has touched a nerve in your religious stream of upbringing. You know what I say to that? Good. Examine it. Examine why you believe what you believe. Examine where you pick that up from. Has it become a restriction in your life where this is the only way that can... If the Bible says it's the only way, then I'm sticking to the Word of God. But where there's freedom, let us have freedom. You can have communion at home with your kids. I don't need to be there for that. Well, wait a minute, kids, let's set all the elements up. Pastor Ed will be here in 5 minutes, and he will serve us, and then he will leave. No, I won't. You will serve, and God will bless your time of communion. You get together for a little Bible study at Starbucks, and you're just there talking about the things of God, and you got a coffee there, and you got a mocha there, and there's this desire to, let's partake of communion. And you walk right over to the market, get some elements, and you partake of communion. Now, I think the symbols are very important. We don't use wine here. We don't want to stumble anybody. We could use wine. But so many people, that it's such a stumbling block in our society, we've chosen to use another form of unfermented grape juice. No alcohol in it, so don't take the tray. All right? Don't do it. There's nothing in there for you. I believe that symbolism is important. We make a special effort here as well, and I think that we've always had this, and I hope we always do, is we purchase unleavened bread for the communion elements, because unleavened bread speaks of the unleavened life of Jesus. And you go, Ed, what does that mean? Well, in the Bible, leaven, that yeast that comes and permeates and explodes your bread into being that big loaf, goes in and putrefies. That's where all the little holes come from in your bread, is the yeast or the leaven. Throughout the Scriptures, leaven is a type of sin. And we know that as that bread represents the body of Jesus, Jesus was sinless. Powerful. And for those that go back and begin to try to make a legalistic thing out of communion, if they really are going to do that, then they're going to need to go back and have Passover meal every single time. And of course they don't. Although some movements do, and they make that a big deal, like that's the only way, you know, you have to keep the Passover feast in order to be right with God. But my Bible says that Jesus is my Passover. So by faith, Passover is fulfilled. He was the sacrifice that was given once and for all for the forgiveness of your sins. So please, church, be careful, whether it's communion or anything else, not to make things, big deals out of things that the Bible gives us freedom in. Jesus left us great freedom, and because the church was all over the place, there was great division. Now, verse 27 says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. We look back, we look now, we look future, and number four, communion, we look within. It's very important for you to examine yourselves that you don't take communion in an unworthy manner. Let me give you a few examples. There are far more, but here's some few ways that you can take communion in an unworthy manner. Number one, if you take communion as an unbeliever, you're taking it in an unworthy manner because it means absolutely nothing to an unbeliever. Partaking of the elements of Jesus who died for you, but you're rejecting him and spitting in his face all over again, why would you take communion? That's an unworthy manner. You're heaping up judgment for yourself, trying to pretend to be a believer, but you're really not a believer, and thinking that communion is going to cover it all up. Communion doesn't save you. Jesus does. And communion will mean nothing to you unless you're a believer. That's an unworthy manner. Number two, you can take communion ritualistically, and it means nothing to you. Your heart's not really in it. You're just doing it because we always do it. That's not really worthy. Number three, you can take communion superstitiously. That was interesting. As I was studying, I picked up on this one, thinking that it saves you or that some special grace is given to you as you partake of communion, that you need that special grace every single week in order to stay saved. That's an unworthy manner. Number four, taking communion sinfully. It is not a good thing for you to have unconfessed sin and come to the communion table. The best thing to do is confess that sin, then come. To live a hypocritical life, you got this over thing over here and this thing over here, and then you come into communion in an unworthy manner. Examine yourself. This is a time to come clean. I love the fact that over the years, communion has developed in our fellowship where now every Wednesday you can take communion. Every Wednesday. There's once a month on the weekends, and every Wednesday night, communion is available to you. That you can come clean with the things of the Lord. Another way that you can take communion, and I can take communion in an unworthy manner, is frivolously. That's a lot of what the Corinthians are doing. They were just partying. It didn't mean anything to them. It was just a big party. Communion didn't, that wasn't even why they were coming together. They weren't coming together for the better. When you think of communion, an unworthy manner, understand that the worthiness of us partaking in communion doesn't come from our own good works. In its essence, none of us really deserve what God has done in our lives. None of us really deserve the love and the grace. I think another way of taking it unworthy is not taking it at all. Like, woe is me, who am I? I don't deserve it. Those are all true. But in Jesus Christ, he's changed all that. Where you draw near and you see that he's working in your life. Where you draw near and you go, yeah, I'm not perfect and I've had a bad day or I've had a bad week, but the communion table reorients me, looking backwards at what he's done for me, looking now what he's doing for me, looking to the future that he's coming for me, and then looking within like, hey, Lord, work on me, work in me, work through me. He gives some more practical things as he closes up. And if you came in a little bit late, we flipped things around so that we had our Bible study first, and now we're going to end in worship and communion. Just a sweet time of letting it all soak in, thinking things through, remembering backward, remembering forward, remembering now, remembering a God working in us. Therefore, whoever eats, verse 27, this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so that let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That's a euphemism. He says a lot of you have died because you're not doing it. You're not doing it under the Lord. You've suffered that consequence. And you go, wait a minute. That's pretty heavy. I know, ask Ananias and Sapphira. In this early time of the church, man, God didn't mess around. It was a message. And Paul's saying, don't you guys see? You're taking advantage of this. You're all getting drunk and you're not even coming together for the better. A lot of you are weak and sick because you're not walking with the Lord. You're suffering the consequences of your bad decisions. He says, verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. You might just want to mark that. That speaks for itself. We just judge ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And if anyone's hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I'll set in order when I come. Paul says, here I come. I'll take care of the rest when I get there. And I think if our hearts aren't checked, we run the danger of bringing judgment upon ourselves. We run the danger of not having an abiding relationship with Jesus. And that brings all kinds of physical things. Stress out, you get all kinds of ulcers and headaches and all kinds of physical stuff that you're not abiding in the Lord. You open yourself up to things. You're not abiding in the Lord. The judgment of condemnation comes upon you. The condemnation of not being right with Him. When you come together, wait for one another. Wouldn't it be great at that agape feast if you just stood there and you go, no, you first, no, you first, no, you first, no, you just stand. Everybody's there. Nobody's eating because everybody wants to serve each other first. And then finally you just say, okay, I'll go. And it's beautiful instead of just jumping in and getting the best. And when you come to the potluck, you look at the table, you set your lineup in just the way, get that thing first and take that over there and not even be concerned that the person next to you has a deeper need than you eating. That's the reality, where we're thinking on ourselves so much that when we come together, it's not for the better, it's for the worse. Where we come together, it's not... For instance, we do our welcome desserts here, and this spread of all the desserts is incredible. But it's not about the desserts, it's about you. It's about the people that are new to the church, talking about the things of the Lord. We could easily do them without desserts, but man, they're so good. I don't know. It's just so good. But I'll wait until you get yours, until we serve one another, and then we enjoy over a meal of just some sweets together, talking about the things of the Lord. It's not about the sweets, it's about you. If I ever forget that, because, you know, I'm really totally into sweets, if I had my way, I'd just go up to that chocolate thing that flows, you know, what do they call that thing? I just go up there and take care of business, man. That's so good. I'm not going to do that, but it is. It's good. It'd be great. You know, nobody else would get any because I'm like, that's sick. I was here first. But if I ever lose sense of that, then it would be a sad thing, would it not? Wouldn't it be a sad thing that your pastor would care more about chocolate than you? It'd be sad to me. We'll drill that down just a little bit and think, well, okay, set Ed aside. Wouldn't it be sad that you care more about chocolate than the person next to you? It is. Especially when we're coming together for the better. Whether it's something simple like a worship fellowship or a welcome dessert or here on Wednesday nights, we do it so often, it becomes so regular, we have to remember that we come together for the better, not for the worse. And whenever the communion elements are available to be served, our minds looking backwards, remembering now the present work of Jesus in your life, looking forward to His soon return that brings holiness and godliness, which is the real cutting edge of life as a believer. And also looking within as the Holy Spirit is bringing to your attention the things that He has put His finger on for you to lay before Him. And so, Lord, we thank You for the beauty of coming together. I appreciate the shift in direction of just ending with worship, having a time of singing unto You, a time of communion where we can process all this stuff, think it through. I especially pray for those that need to examine themselves, which would be all of us, that we would open ourselves so that Your Spirit could speak directly to us. And before we even enter in, God, I pray for those that don't know You, that need to decide to follow You today, that today would be the day of their salvation. Today would be the day where they turn their backs on sin and receive the forever forgiveness through Your sacrifice that You gave to us, Jesus, fully God, sacrificing Your sinless life because You love us, that even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, You forgave us. And if you're here today, you said, Ed, I need to be saved, then I want you to decide. Make that decision. Decide to follow Him. You hear Jesus saying, come follow me, come follow me. Okay, now decide. And if that's you, would you just stand to your feet? I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to come alongside of you, and your standing really is for the opportunity for me to see you. And really, it's the first step that you make in... Like, hey, I'm going for it. This is no emotional response, man. I'm ready. I need my sins forgiven. And I want to follow Jesus all the days of my life. If that's you, would you just stand up? I want to pray with you. But no more. This is the day that the Lord has made. It's time for you to be glad in Him and rejoice over the forgiveness of your own sins. You're not going to get it any other way, friend. There's no book you could buy. There's no church you could attend. There's no good work you could ever do to forgive you of your sins. Jesus is the only way into salvation. You know why? Because he said so. It's God's ordained. It's God's prescribed way for you to be saved. So would there be anyone here that says, hey, Ed, that's me. I want to follow Jesus. Would you just stand up so we can rejoice with you and I can lead you in a prayer? God bless you. Who else? Today's the day. Today's the day. It's so cool because I got saved on a Wednesday night service just like this. Sitting way in the back. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to me in a room of thousands, able to nail me. Not in a bad way, in a good way. Just revealing his love and his grace and his mercy and his holiness in my life. That's what's happening. God's taking you from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. So if you responded, you can pray to God directly. He wants to hear from you. And the Bible says this, if you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that he lived for you, he died for you, he rose again, you believe that, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. You could say, dear God, I give you my life. I ask you to forgive me, not because of what I have done, but because of what you have done. I repent of my sins, and I turn my life towards you. Save my soul, God. Save me. I want to follow you and live for you all the days of my life. And God, I know anyone that would cry out to you. I realize that I just get that sense that as this message goes forth, somebody that are thousands of miles away from us, you're touching them. You're ministering to them. You're drawing them into your presence through your spoken word. And even for those that are here that responded, God, that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. And as we worship, we rejoice. We take of communion. We learn that that meal of sharing together, that you are my Savior, but you're also our Savior. We rejoice in that in Jesus' name. Amen.
As Ed Taylor brings to a close this teaching on abounding grace, let's keep these principles in mind as we go about our day. Reviewing the points that Ed has brought to our attention will keep our hearts in unity with the work God seeks to perform in our lives. If this message has spoken to you, and you'd like a copy of it for your personal studies, or maybe you know of someone who could receive encouragement from this lesson, don't hesitate to contact us and ask for a copy of the message titled Communion with Jesus. It's available on an audio CD. When you contact us, ask for CD number 4619. Once again, it's CD number 4619. The price is just $2, and we'll send that audio CD out to you right away. The address to write for your copy is Abounding Grace, P.O. Box 460-598, Aurora, Colorado 80046. Again, it's P.O. Box 460-598, Aurora, Colorado 80046. Or for faster service, you can choose to place your order by phone. Contact Abounding Grace toll-free at 877-30-GRACE. Again, it's 877-304-7223. Well, during the month of July, our special offer to those of you who make a financial donation to Abounding Grace is the book, Power of Prayer by E.M. Bounds. There's power through prayer. For many Christians, prayer is nothing special, just something we're supposed to do. But prayer really should be so much more than an item on our to-do list. In the book, Power of Prayer by author E.M. Bounds, you'll discover how effective prayers can help you gain a deeper understanding of God's Word. If you're ready to unleash more power in your life, join E.M. Bounds on this prayer adventure. Again, Power of Prayer from E.M. Bounds is our way of saying thank you when you support this ministry with a financial gift during the month of July. Our address is Abounding Grace, Box 460-598, Aurora, Colorado 80046. Again, it's Abounding Grace, Post Office Box 460-598, Aurora, Colorado 80046. You can also securely donate online at calvaryaurora.org. Now, as we close out the broadcast, for those of you living in the Denver metro area, we'd love to have you join us this weekend. We have a Saturday evening service, which begins at 6 p.m., and you can also join us Sunday morning as well. There you can choose to attend either the 8:45 or 10:45 a.m. service. For directions and more information, give us a call at the church office. That local number is area code 303-628-7200. Or simply check out the Click for Directions link on our website. It's right there on the homepage under locations at calvaryaurora.org. We also broadcast our services live on the internet, so no matter where you live, you can be a part of our worship family. For more information, just log on to calvaryaurora.org. Again, for all the details, click in at calvaryaurora.org. We pray that you've been blessed today. And we'll see you next time as you continue to walk in God's abounding grace.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I've seen before.
This program is presented by Calvary Chapel of Aurora.